Today, we're going to go through some powerful symbolism of the 2026 Winter Olympics opening ceremony from Milan, Italy. I'll explain why they're using symbolism and go through the symbols I saw and how they relate to modern conspiracy theories. We're going to talk about the all-seeing eye, 666 hand, rock diamond, inverted pentagrams, and much more. We're going to talk about the occult connections to the location of Milan and how we have MKUltra and Epstein file symbolism and all of this. If you want to know why the lizard people rule the world, you better listen to this one. That's right. Due to high demand from my Patreon supporters, I've decided I'm going to squeeze this episode in of the Olympics opening ceremony, 2026 symbolism. There's just a handful of images to discuss, but I've got bigger fish to fry because, my goodness, I'm still going through Epstein files. Still got the Super Bowl. I got to do an appearance at 4 o'clock here. We got a lot to get through, so I'm going to bang this out real quick and try to get it out to you guys as quick as I can. Check it out. If you want to see the images and stuff, go to my YouTube, as always. Well, as of right now, at Occult Symbolism is the channel name. You can find it linked in the show notes or allmylinks.com/IsaacW, 2 A's for double awesome, where you can find everything I do everywhere. Okay, let's get into it. First, we have to understand and know why symbols are being employed here. You already know, if you're an old school vet, it's been around long enough with me, you already know, but let's do it quick. The Olympics, one of these globally watched high-profile ritual events, just like the Super Bowl, all right? The opening ceremony is of particular interest because we have the Olympic flame, which is very much tied into the occult history. Hitler famously started this tradition of taking the flame from Mount Hera in Greece to the location of the games, painstakingly. Sometimes they take it over, boats and planes and all kinds of stuff, right? But the global focus and attention is on the flame, which allows access to the subconscious of the viewer, right? We're talking about the Jungian concepts of the collective unconscious. David Lynch talked about this with transcendental meditation, of getting into the unified field, which is where I postulate he was able to connect with us. That's why we get obsessed with Twin Peaks, right? We all get obsessed with Twin Peaks. I know you do, right? We all do, right? it's a joke, because I know some of you hate it. All right. And I don't know why. I don't know why they hate for the Twin Peaks, but either love it or hate it. That's the truth. Now, the collective unconscious is where all the mass group archetypes and symbols are located, right? So thus, using symbolism on a high-profile ritual event such as this facilitates the opening of the doorways. It's a messaging system into the soul of the human being, okay? It's a way the metaphysical world, the spiritual world, can connect into the material realm. And that's what magic is all about, ritual magic. We're not talking about stage magic like David Copperfield, also in the Epstein files. but anyway, I digress. Let's get into the symbols and talk about what we saw. The classic, all-seeing eye, that's right. Covering up one eye, it's the oldest trick in the book. They love this one more than anything, I think. I would argue this is the number one. You count down the top 10 Illuminate confirmed symbols, the all-seeing eye has got to be number one. It refers to the all-seeing eye of their god. You see this with the Freemasonic symbolism. You see this in the the symbolism with the compass and square or the triangle, which is the blazing star of Freemasonry, is Sirius. Again, this ties into ideas of shape-shifting lizard people. We're going to come back to that again. But they talk about the eye of the creator, and that's what the G stands for in the compass and square, the grand creator. Well, this is why they also call the fallen angels the watchers. They're watching with their eye, right? Implying their god is the Luciferian rebel archetype, like the watchers, like the fallen angels. They rebelled against God, came to earth, made sexy time with the women, who can resist, and then they created the Nephilim monsters, which God had to smite. Now, to show the all-seeing eye is the same, is it the same? To show the all-seeing eye is very similar to the opening of the third eye concept, which magician Kenneth Grant claimed could charge a talisman, it could harness energy, or it could even create the moon child. Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard, they were out in the deserts during the Babylon working rituals, banging on the drum, if you know what I'm saying. But they were also doing symbolism, trying to create the moon child. I'm using YouTube. I got to be careful with my language. Okay. It also is a symbol that can open gates to allow extraterrestrial entities through. All right? Think about that. They believe in interdimensional entities. They believe that energy and symbolism is a way to facilitate communication. It's not crazy. So therefore, the symbolism is a way of opening up a portal in a ritualistic environment, which is what the Amalantra and Babylon workings were all about. Okay. Now, to wake up the third eye in the bridal chamber is an energetic form of alchemy. It's a goat with the bobs. It's opposing forces coming together, much like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, who also attempted to open their eyes with aid from the serpent, who told them they could become gods. Now, this is where you get into the Luciferian stuff, like Blavatsky's theosophy. She believed that the serpent was Lucifer, and Lucifer is the good guy, trying to liberate us from this Gnostic prison. If you go to the Orthodox Study Bible, as you should, like a good Christian warrior, an Orthodox Christian warrior, you would read that the serpent is the devil. Then we go to the rock diamond. Everyone knows this. This is Jay-Z and Beyonce's symbol they've used forever. It goes back to the occult, though. Right? Because Jay-Z is part of this as well, as you can see with the Epstein files. In terms of magic, the rock diamond is just the triangle of manifestation, meaning the magician stands in the circle, conjures up the entity into the triangle. They're trying to, again, summon forces, summon entities into this world through ritual incantation. And the practitioner can use this symbol to harness the energy for their magic, right? And there's a magical order called the Ordo Templi Orientis, and they've listed this as the fourth degree sign of the grade fire goddess, and has the name Thum Aesh Nith. And since I don't believe this symbol in the Olympics is necessarily using it in this manner, because in the OTO guidebook, it says you have to raise the arms above the head to join the hands with the tips of the fingers and the thumbs meet to form a triangle, then I would suggest that this is the triangle of manifestation, just manifesting general energy. Then we got the spiral. This was the main stage, the main idea here. It starts out in black and white, and then the colors come around and make it go colored, right? Now, if you're in my, I need to come up with a cool name for my Patreon group, you know, because I'm a Cash Daddy's Patreon member. And he always says it's where the bangers bang. And I got to come up with something cool like that. So if you're in the Patreon chat, drop your idea, all right? But Amanda was on the Patreon chat, and she compared this to the Wizard of Oz. And she was right on the money. Because I was looking at this, and I thought, this has MK Ultra vibes, this whole thing. And when you talk about the Wizard of Oz, let's unpack that for just 1 second. Because maybe you didn't listen to my 4-part MK Ultra deep dive I just finished. Catch up on the YouTube at Occult Symbolism or listen on the podcast. But the idea behind MKUltra and Wizard of Oz is that to go over the rainbow is to dissociate. All right. And that's what happens in the movie. It goes from black and white to color, which was a big publicity stunt back then because color wasn't a common thing. So when Dorothy goes over the rainbow, then it's in this color realm. Okay. Now, we know that in MKUltra theories like Project Monarch and Kathy O'Brien, she suggests that going over the rainbow is to dissociate into an altar. And these psychopaths abuse kids to force the dissociation, to force them over the rainbow, which is also what you see in Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, right? When the second greatest actor of all time, Bill Harfer, there, goes over the rainbow to get the costume to go into this other realm where the elites exist, which I don't know if you've been keeping up with the Epstein files theories. There's so much coming out, and I'm probably going to do a whole episode on just because, as you know, I've done 7 deep dives into Eyes Wide Shut. I wrote about it in a book called Kubrick's Code, 12 years ago. And a lot of that stuff's now coming out to be true. And one thing, I'll give you a couple examples. An interesting one that my dear wife Josie found on Breaking Social Norms podcast, where we debate these things, she found someone had seen that one of the masks in Eyes Wide Shut looks exactly like Donald Trump. Exactly. I mean, to me, there's no doubt that's Donald Trump. Kubrick was trying to reveal it to us. That's why he's the GOAT. He was trying to reveal the truth of what these elites are into. All right. And if you listen to my deep dive series, you'll hear that I tracked down the book that Kubrick studied to make this film, and I went to the passage, which in the Making of Eyes Wide Shut book, they reference a certain passage. I go to that passage, and what I read blew my mind. It was called Shunamitism. It's this concept of using kids and their energy. That's what these elites are into. And if you think I'm crazy, listen to my 6-7 episodes on this whole thing. I did it around 2021, I think. So start there. Now, the idea here is that these elites are doing crazy stuff, which I can't get into right now, but we're going to unpack it a little bit more. And another thing I saw, Hunter sent me this clip of, there's a scene where Nicole Kidman is at Ziegler's party. She's drinking a wine. She goes through a threshold of a door. And you'll see this couple. One is, it's an old man with gray hair and a woman with short brunette hair. And the one shot is from behind. And then the next shot comes in and they're coming through the threshold. And the woman changes into an entirely different character. And in my book, I talked about how this is like a shape-shifting person, which I thought was a little cringe. I almost didn't put it in there. I was like, I don't know what else this could be. Why does this person shift into someone else completely? Now people online are like, this is Ghislaine and Ed and Jeffrey. And I'm like, oh my God, it's because they're shape-shifting lizard people. And that's what Kubrick was trying to show us. And that's why they took him out. That's why they murked him. Anyway, Wizard of Oz, a key component in a lot of the works of David Lynch and Stanley Kubrick, who knew how to access the subconscious mind. They were trying to teach us and tell us about what these elites are into. Now, if you want more on MK Ultra to connect in with all this, you could be discussing serial killers, because we talked about this in MK Ultra Part 1. In Milan, you had these beasts of Satan, Italian serial killers from the 90s to the 2000s, and this group was into these ritualistic murders, satanic rituals, occult murders, right? And strangely enough, two of the murderers, Andrea Volpi and Pietro Guerrieri, received 30 and 16 years sentences, respectively, because they cooperated with authorities. Now, that's pretty crazy. Three confirmed murders, suspected up to 18 murders, and they get relatively little time for that. I believe it's quite possible that there was some Charles Manson type steering going on behind the scenes, like we saw from MH Chaos, which makes all the sense in the world when you read David McGowan's Program to Kill and Tom O'Neill's Chaos, which I discussed on this series. Another symbol we see is the 666 hand. Now, I'm going to be rational for 5 seconds and 5 seconds only. In American Sign Language, this means prosper. But that's not why you came here. You came here for the nutty stuff. So let's go. The 666 hand. It refers to the womb of the Illuminati. It's the same Hindu mudra used by yoga practitioners. You know, and Aleister Crowley was into yoga. And it's called the Mudra Kiya, which is the hand gesture used to convey messages of unfolding or growth or evolution or whatever the practitioner is trying to convey through their performance. It's used to sort of like emphasize it in a way. All right. So it's kind of like a little exclamation point, maybe, I guess, would be a way of putting it. Now, the most interesting one that everyone on the socials is talking about is the inverted pentagram. All right. When they actually lit the Olympics torch, the final sort of ball, B-A-L-L, not B-A-A-L, you can see it's clearly an inverted pentagram in there. And when you listen to the ceremony, they say that this was inspired by Da Vinci's geometry because Da Vinci lived in Milan. Which is also a curious choice since Da Vinci has so many ties to the occult as well. Da Vinci was alive during the Renaissance, which had lots of occult thinking. You had scholars openly practicing various forms of Western Hermeticism, Kabbalah, and magic. They were fusing together these ideas, which is where you get the idea of the Renaissance man, right? To bring all these things together. One person who knows everything, Joe Rogan, he's the Renaissance man of our age, right? And John Dee was around another one of these occultists around during the Renaissance. He was the godfather of alien contact, who gave us the Enochian language, which Crowley and Parsons would use to make contact with aliens themselves. And he was alive during this time. So it was Paracelsus, Cornelius Agrippa, who wrote the three books on philosophy, a foundational text to connect occult practices. Now, it's argued that Da Vinci's paintings and figures were androgynous. And this could be because it's an alchemical concept of opposing forces coming together. It's the bridal chamber where the male and female meet, right? The Salve and Coagula, which you also see on Goat with the Bobs. So Da Vinci would later inspire the theories by Pierre Teilhard and used by Dan Brown in the Da Vinci Code of all his esoteric ideas, which the film stars Tom Hanks. We're not going to get distracted. We're not going down that rabbit hole today. But Da Vinci, he did employ sacred architecture and supposedly had Gnostic themes in his art, like the Last Supper. Either way, he was supported through a patronization system, which is how they used to fund artists back in the days. That's why Patreon is called Patreon, because it's based on the patronization of artists. Or you can support me on Patreon, too. If you're on there, patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Get in there. But he was patronized by the Sforza court, where there was this hub of various occult thinking artists. So he does plug into the occult as well. But to get back to the idea of the inverted pentagram, everyone knows this as the satanic symbol, right? It's because the Church of Satan, they employed this image. You rotate the regular pentagram or the upright star 180 degrees to invert it. And what this signifies is antinomianism. And this is much darker than people think. I mean, your TikTok, Instagram conspiracy theorist doesn't take it far enough. They say, oh my God, spooky Satan, you know, and it's not really like that. It's more about antinomianism. And this is about the inversion of social norms. And this is where it gets scary. You know, the upright pentagram was the symbol of magic, and this goes back through the Pythagorean cult because it represents the five elements of nature: your earth, air, water, fire, and spirit. So LaVey's Church of Satan comes around, they invert it, and it demonstrates the concept of material realm, the material forces. And it also resembles the head of the goat. Again, goat with the bobs, Baphomet. But antinomianism is all about existing outside the stream of God's consciousness and having one become a god of their own. And that's what the plan is. That's the name of this game. And that's why, you know, this entire Epstein Files drop is revealing it to us. These psychopaths, they're breaking any and all taboos and morality because they're demonstrating their willingness to become quote unquote gods. That's why you see them doing horrific things and talking about pizza and gross stuff and crazy stuff. Because if you're not paying attention, you're not appalled. If you know what I mean? Wait, am I saying that right? if you're reading any of these Epstein files and you have an ounce of conspiracy knowledge, you're appalled by this and you're like, oh my goodness, do we have to burn this thing to the ground? What is going on? These are all the world leaders. But then the mouth-breathing masses, the normies, the sheeple, they're just like, oh, I don't know. I think Bill Clinton's in it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, these people are like, wake up, dude. They're telling us they're shape-shifting lizard people that eat babies. Okay. I don't know what to tell you. We're going to come back to this in the conclusion. But sticking to the location of Milan for just a second, we have other occult activities to consider. You've got the Duomo di Milano Church. This is a church in Milan that supposedly in 1386, the devil appeared in a dream to this aristocrat named Duke Gian Visconti and told him that, look, if you don't build me a church, I'm going to take your soul. I'm going to snatch your soul. So Visconti builds this church, and it's got tons of like demonic looking monsters and gargoyles and stuff. So supposedly this is built for the devil. Then you also have the devil's column near it, which is where the devil left a mark with these horns while fighting St. Ambrose. And you suppose you can hear hell in there. You also have the Chabad Lubavitch area nearby. And Chabad is an acronym for the Chachma Bina Deoth, which is Kabbalah, right? These are Sephiroths on the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. And it's the world's most influential movement of Hasidic Judaism. And Chabad's world headquarters is actually in Brooklyn at 770 Eastern Parkway. So in Milan, there's a replica of it called the House 770. Now, Chabad's interesting because it was run by a guy named Rabbi Schneerson from the 50s to the 90s when he died. And he was he's listed as the most influential Jewish leader of the 20th century. And many thought he was the Jewish Messiah, the Moshiach. And all this gets into crazy territories, which I'm still unpacking because you know me, I like to go deep and try to understand all the nooks and crannies of everything. So stay subscribed. I'm going to go into that stuff sometime. I did two episodes on rebuilding the Temple of Solomon back in like 23. If you want more on that right now, if you don't want to wait. So in conclusion, let's wrap up the Olympics. Illuminate confirm, right? But we all now have to consider that with the Epstein files, we had to illuminate, confirm the entire secular world at this point. Even some of the non-secular world, even, you know, the Vatican, supposedly Epstein was living in the Vatican with Pope John Paul II. Are you kidding me? What is going on? A lot of people have conspiracies about the Roman Catholic religion. And I mean, you'd be in denial if you didn't say they were covering up a lot of stuff, because they were. But how far does this rabbit hole go? I think it goes all the way. I think it goes all the way down to shape-shifting lizard people doing sacrifices to bloodthirsty Moloch gods and the cult of Baal, right? Which is funny because Orthodox priest Stephen DeYoung wrote a book called The Baal Book, A Biography of the Devil, which I picked up. I haven't read it yet. I was like, well, now's the time, I guess. I got to read through it. But if the world could slow down for 2 seconds, I would. But the Epstein files, this is part of the revelation of the method. This is the big one. This is the one where they're doing their flex to see how we handle it. And I can already tell you it won't be good. I already know it. I already feel it in my bones. I'm disappointed by our society on a daily basis. You know? And there's even an email where they reveal that they know we're not going to do anything. It's all bread and circus. And that was the goal of MKUltra, to mind control the masses and to pacify us. There's an email, EFTA00705992, between the CEO of Barclays, Jess Staley, who allegedly facilitated Epstein's accounts at JP Morgan. I don't know if it's allegedly. I'm just saying this so I don't get in trouble. And the email says, you want to know why we are not Sao Paulo? Watch the TV ads on the Super Bowl. It's all about hip blacks and hip cars with white women. The group that should be in the streets has been bought off by Jay-Z. This is how they talk about us. We're just a bunch of cattle. We're the G word. You know what I mean? It's an insane, mind-blowing thing to see all this unpack. But stay subscribed. I'm going to assess how these new revelations coming to light from the Epstein files shed light on all these previous theories that I've done. I've been doing podcasts since 2014 and writing books since 2011. And all these theories that I postulated on appear to have much more truth than I even gave it credit for, which is scary, right? They seem more truer than ever, which is nuts and shocking. And I think if you're not hip to any conspiracy thinking, you're clueless and you're out in left field. And I think that's most of society. I think they're giving us a chance to say, hey, knock it off, lizard people. And we're not going to do that. And they're going to be like, all right, cool. We're going to keep doing it then. You know what I mean? There's like that karmic retribution thing that they have to tell us what they're doing, and they're telling us so. Anyway, if you want to keep unpacking it, this insane antinomian. Oh, I didn't finish the antinomian stuff. Yeah, so antinomianism is all about breaking morals, right? It's all about proving that you're not confined to the morality of God's consciousness, because they want to step outside the stream of consciousness to become their own gods. And when you do this, there's different, most elements of left-hand path antinomianism take you down these dark roads. And this gets into like Saturn worship, which demands human sacrifice. And that's the whole reason why Christ came. He was like, quit sacrificing stuff. Can you, please? And some people didn't want to stop doing that. And they're still doing it to this day. I talked about this in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. Like, how dense are people? You think they were just going to stop? They've been doing it for thousands of years. The Aztecs were doing it. Everyone was doing it. Oh, they were too evolved now. Oh, I don't think so. I think they're doing worse. I think they're doing worse. Okay. So anyway, hope you enjoyed this. I guess. Go to my YouTube, please. Subscribe. Add a cult symbolism. I need 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year. Why? Because I made that goal, and I want you to help me. I can only do it with your help. I'm on pace, but it's got. I need a couple of viral ones to blow up and make this happen. So help me out. Add a cult symbolism on YouTube. Links always in the show notes, or go to my link tree, allmylinks.com/IsaacW, 2 A's for double awesome. And now I got to go work on this Super Bowl halftime show, because it's going to be insane. If you didn't listen to the Super Bowl pregame show where I talk about all the Bad Bunny symbolism in his music videos, that's out on YouTube and on the podcast stream and Spotify and everywhere. Wherever you want to get me, I'm trying to put myself everywhere, okay? Thank you for your support. Stay positive.